This is Doug Miller. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you wish to pronounce it. Doesn't much matter. It is right back at the end of the Old Testament, one of the last books in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the third from the last. You'll have no trouble finding it, given those instructions, I'm persuaded. So bring your Bibles, open up to this very small, three chapters long book of a Jewish prophet, a prophet out of Judah, who is often quoted in many ways, but very seldom actually read or studied or pondered. And I think you'll find this very profitable and very up-to-date and very applicable to the time we live in, and certainly applicable to the times ahead that we are moving into. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And, of course, to that end, this is strictly a faith ministry, and we very much need your prayers and just your word of mouth support and any help you can give us, because without you, we've got nothing. It goes nowhere. Pray for us. Write our names down. Dialogue on your little prayer list. Tell others to pray for us. Tell others to listen to us. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. I generally, those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any length of time will know that I always begin the broadcast with some pithy, clever little saying that is designed, I suppose, to gain your attention and get you to stick around and listen. And some of my sayings are less clever than others, and none of them are probably all that clever, but some of you know how I do it. This time I didn't have anything better than the opening words of the ninth verse of chapter 2 of Habakkuk. And, of course, I mispronounced one of those. So I don't know if you caught that or not, but woe to him that coveteth. That's the one I mispronounced. You forgive me, I'm sure. Woe to him that coveteth, or in Hebrew perhaps gaineth, an evil covetousness or gain to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. What a dynamite verse. My goodness. You know, the Word of God is indeed quick and powerful, and there is so much packed into these verses. What Habakkuk is talking about here, he is, as we saw last time, looking far ahead, far ahead of the invasion of Babylon into Judah, which took place, you know, around 500, 520 B.C., sometime around then. He's looking way ahead of that. And as we saw last time, he's looking down to the end times, times that we haven't even seen yet. And I gave you good reasons for believing that the last time that we were in here. And I'm not going to go back through that again, but I will just refer you to one. The fourth verse, "The just shall live by his faith," is a clear indicator that he was looking at the times we are living in right now, the time of grace by faith. And that verse, as I pointed out, was quoted three times in the New Testament, twice by Paul and once by the writer of Hebrews. And it makes it very clear, the just living by his faith, that Habakkuk was looking down at a time that goes beyond the time of the law, the time even when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, because he was still here ministering under the law. It was looking down to this time that we are living in, and then he goes beyond that. He goes beyond that and begins talking about the remnant of the people in verse 8. And it is very clear that he looks beyond even the time we are in to a time yet to come that Israel is going to live through. Now, the whole world's going to live through it, but it is going to center in on Israel like it is to no other people. It will not involve the church. The church will be long gone by then, having been raptured, caught up by the Lord Jesus. And I am telling you that we, the church, will not live through the Great Tribulation. There's much teaching out there that says that we will. There's a lot of teaching out there that says there is no such thing as the Great Tribulation. All of this is just symbolic, and you know the stuff. But you also know the man talking to you takes this word literally and believes it literally. And the teaching of the New Testament is, I believe, very clear. The church will not be here for this. So let me ask all of you who are listening to me, will you be here for this? You do not wish to be one of those left behind to live through the 7-year tribulation period. You don't want to do that, because the Lord Jesus talked about this in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and he says it's the most terrible time that will ever come to this earth. There's been nothing like it before. There will be nothing like it again. And except those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But he then goes on and says, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, if you are one of those who think the elect is talking about the church, and then you say, oh, well, there you are. It's the church, it's for their sake that the days are going to be shortened, and you just said the church will not be in the tribulation. Shame on you, Miller, how confused you are. Oh, no, friends, I'm not confused. The remnant here that is being talked about, the elect that is being spoken of, are the remnant of the believers of Israel, the nation of Israel, who are going to come through the Great Tribulation to stand on the other side in the millennial kingdom. And if you don't know or understand about the remnant of Israel, I suggest you go back and read Romans 9, 10, and 11 and see what Paul says about them. Now, look back here to Habakkuk. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. I want to say something about this, and I want to make it applicable to the time we are living in as well as to the time we are moving into. I will no doubt offend some of you here. I find myself saying this often because I promise you, I do not like to offend people. If you offend people, they turn you off. They close their ears. They don't want to listen to you anymore. You've said something they don't like, and so on and so forth. I do not wish to offend people. On the other hand, if I tell the truth, some people are often going to be offended. And if it's a choice between the two, I can either get along with everyone and make it smooth, or I can offend some people. Friends, I have no choice. That's no choice at all. I've got to tell the truth. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you a little history here and a little talk about the times that we are living in and some things that you all need to think about. There are basically two systems of interpretation for the Bible out there right now. All of you need to know this. Many of you are in churches where they never talk about this, where they just sort of assume things, and you assume them, and so on and so forth. But there are basically two systems. One is the system of the Reformers. It is called covenant theology. It is not just covenant theology, but it is replacement theology. It teaches that Israel sinned in rejecting Messiah. Therefore, God is through with them. Therefore, there is no such thing as the nation of Israel anymore. That is the church, and the church has co-opted all of the promises to Israel. And when you're reading in the Old Testament these promises given to Israel, if you are a church member, a believing Christian born again, you can just assume that that promise is yours and lay hold on it. That's covenant theology. That's replacement theology. And hand in glove with covenant and replacement theology, amillennialism. They do not believe nor teach, for the most part, a literal thousand-year reign of Christ. They say that's all symbolic. And as for the kingdom of God, they say basically that it is already here. God is reigning. Christ Jesus is on his throne, and the kingdom of God is reigning and ruling. Now, I may have oversimplified things a little bit. If you are a covenant theologian and you say, but I don't believe what you just said, my apologies to you. Some of you may not. What I've given is just a general overview. The man talking to you right now is not a covenant theologian, not a replacement theologian, and believes, here we go, literally, in the literal thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, and believes literally that there will be a pre-tribulational rapturing of the church, and the church will be taken out of here. And those are none of the things that covenant theologians generally believe and teach and hold to. The man talking to you is a dispensationalist. And dispensationalism, in general, holds to the idea that there will be the pre-tribulational rapturing of the church. There will be a literal seven-year period, Daniel's terrible 70th week, a period of 7 years, the worst that this world has ever seen. At the end of that time, Jesus Christ will come back and will reign and rule literally on this earth for 1,000 years. And among other things, and perhaps above everything else, this dispensationalist and all dispensationalists agree that Israel is not the church and the church is not Israel. Israel has earthly promises that God is going to fulfill. God promised the land of Palestine and much more than that even to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means the Jews of this day and the rest of Israel who have not yet, they're still out in the dispersion and will yet be brought back. Now, the church is not Israel. The church has heavenly promises. And the church is looking forward to that day when the Lord comes back for them. And God is good to his word. He cannot lie. And every promise he ever made to Israel is going to be fulfilled. Now, there's something else that all of us dispensationalists believe, and this is so clear from Scripture, I don't know why anyone would argue with it or even think of arguing with it. But I want you to listen to this. Humans are born under a curse. It's called original sin, if you wish to call it that. It is the sin of Adam. He sinned, he passed on this sin nature to all of his progeny, and that's all of us, and they are born under the curse. Therefore, now covenant theologians believe this too. I don't want to say that they don't, although many of the, you know, modern God is dead, I love you, you love me type theologians don't believe it. But this idea that humans are basically good, that humans can somehow work and labor and, you know, get it all together and bring the kingdom of God on this earth by their own efforts and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that is not scriptural, not a bit of it. And yet that is what people have been trying to do for, lo, these many, many centuries. There is a verse in Psalm 127. You look it up, many of you know it already. Says this, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now let me ask all of you out there who are listening to me, what is your plan for your future? Do you have plans for your future? I mean your long-range plans. Are you looking off to eternity, and have you made plans for that? Or are you strictly stuck on this earth and looking for this earth? Politics, and it's all around us now, and I know we all have our favorite politicians and our favorite parties, and we believe this guy and we believe that guy, and we're just waiting for the next guys to get elected because they'll straighten out the mess that these guys that just got, we put in there did. You know, none of that's going to happen, friends. And if you look out there, and you've heard me say this before, so many of the people out there who are involved in all of this politicking and everything are laboring to build their own house. They really believe that somehow they can get it all together and bring the kingdom of God on this earth by their own efforts. It is not going to happen. God will have them in derision. You do not push God out and then say, somehow, I'll get it together. Now look at this ninth verse of Habakkuk 2 again. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire. Or rather, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? Now the people Habakkuk is specifically talking about here are the Jews. That's specifically who he has in mind. It has a much broader application than that, however, because the Jews in this regard are no different than the Gentiles. Let me tell you, if there was ever a people who are laboring in the very fire, verse 13, it is Israel right now. They are in the Middle East, having gone back. Now, this was of the Lord, I am persuaded, although the covenant theologians may deny it, but this was of the Lord. But they have gone back basically in unbelief, and they are laboring, and they are surrounded by people who hate them. And they are hated and despised, and you know this anti-Semitism business. Doesn't take much to get it roaring up to life again, does it? You blow on that flame a little bit, and up it comes. It never really goes away. You would have thought, I would have thought, that after World War II, when the truth came out of what had happened in the concentration camps in Germany and Poland and the occupied areas of Europe, and the millions of people that died there, and the hatred that came down on the Jews, you would have thought that would be the end of it, wouldn't you? It is not. It is not. And if you're Jewish and listening to me, I want to tell you something. You haven't seen anything yet. It's real interesting to see that anti-Semitism is alive and well. And the Jews even today are laboring in the fire. To do what? To build themselves something, but they're trying to build it without the Lord. Now this truth goes way beyond just the Jews. It goes to us too. All of you people who, you know, you're politically inclined and you're politically motivated and you, you know, I talked to a woman, not too long ago, about one of our politicians. In fact, I'll tell you who it was. It was our current president, and she was just enamored of this man. She just swooned when she talked about him. This wonderful man, she called him, that we finally got in there who's going to get everything straightened out. Madam, sir, whoever you are listening to me, this is not going to happen. I do not say that because I am against our president, nor do I say that because I am a Republican. I am not a Republican, nor am I a Democrat. I am neither one. I am not against the man in the White House. But I can tell you right now, you can quit swooning and thinking that somehow the kingdom of God is about to come on earth. That is simply silly. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And this is true for us as it is true of Israel. Now, Israel is in a terrible problem. What problem are they in? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? They are under the gun big time and laboring, and they are surrounded by enemies. And where do they go from here? Well, I'll tell you where they're going to go. The scripture is very clear on this. A man is going to come along. We don't know who he is yet. He may be alive and well on planet Earth, but it's pointless for you to go around pointing fingers and saying, oh, well, there he is. This man is known by many names throughout Scripture, both Old and the New Testament. He is known as the Assyrian. That's symbolic. He may or may not actually be from Assyria. I doubt it. He is known as the Abomination of Desolation. He is known as Antichrist. He is known as the Beast. He is known as the Man of Sin. He is the one the Lord Jesus was talking about when he said to the Jews, I have come in my Father's name, you won't receive me. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. Well, that's exactly what they're going to do. And the Antichrist is the one that they are going to take hold of, and they will believe that he is Messiah. I don't know what kind of credentials he's going to present, but he'll present something. And they are going to put all of their trust in him. Now, here is a building of the town with blood. Here is the establishing of a city by iniquity. Here is sinning against the soul and cutting off many people to reject the Christ of God who came with truth and life and light and to turn to a man simply because he is eloquent and can talk well and looks good and can, you know, and of course that's exactly what we do, isn't it? And to think that that man is the answer to the problems. I've got news for you. A terrible time is coming, and yet a better time is coming out of it. Let's end the broadcast today looking at verse 14 of chapter 2 of Habakkuk. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is where we're going, and this is what it's coming out to. In spite of all our evil and wickedness and rebelliousness, this is the direction we are tending to. The great ruling day of the Lord Jesus is coming in, and he will sit on the throne of David and rule in righteousness. Well, we'll have to take this up next time. That's all we'll have time for. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.